We continue the March theme because it's still March. And the theme is spiritual living through education and continuous improvement. Have you noticed that we are continuously improving personally and as a family and, believe it or not, as an entire human race? We are awakening. We are awakening to this magnificence, the spiritual magnificence that abides within our humanness. And we awaken to it through our learning, our living, our loving, our learning, because indeed this is a spirituality that works. And it works everywhere at all times for anybody. And it doesn't matter whether you're 2 or 92. There is this wonderful loving presence, everywhere present, which desires only the highest and the best for each and every one of us and for all of us as an entire human race. And I think must be very patient, waiting for us to awaken to who we really are. And then this wonderful, immutable law of mind that responds to our belief. And we have the ability to change our idea, to change our mental patterns, to change our spiritual prototypes, as we were talking about earlier in the month, and co-creating something wonderful in our lives and in the world. So we're always learning and growing. Spirit will mold our purposes when we allow it to do so, says Ernest Holmes. As we learn to depend more and more upon the perfect law, we shall find that the outward things which are necessary to our good will be provided. That's why it seemed appropriate to talk today about a commitment to purpose. We've been developing our purpose, our individual purposes, not only in classes, but here on Sunday mornings, and when we're gathering together for our spiritual living circles or the other activities that we have, we're developing our individual purposes and setting goals. And when we do that, we are setting the law into motion in a very creative and wonderful new way. Because, believe it or not, some people have some pretty nonsensical ideas lodged in their subconscious minds. Have you ever heard of that? And in the entire human race conscious mind, the whole human race has within it beautiful, it has all the music, all the poetry, everything that has ever been created, all the art that's beautiful, and it also has some really ridiculous things. Like, if you get your feet wet, you're going to catch your death. And you know, and medical people will tell us that's ridiculous. That's just not what happens. But a lot of those old beliefs are still acting within us. They're sort of in our human DNA in a way that is more than physical. It's something that's passed down. And we, unfortunately, have accepted a lot of the things that just aren't true. And as a result, we've been living out somebody else's nightmare. I was going to say dream, but in many cases, it's a nightmare. But the best part is we are co-creating a new dream. We're learning how to be on purpose no matter what things look like out there, no matter what the hand we seem to be dealt. Reverend Mike and I had the most wonderful experience. Just another one after another one after another. We had a wonderful experience Wednesday morning. We're finishing breakfast and we're noticing that Itzhak Perlman is going to be playing at the Kimmel Center that night. That night. I said, oh, I haven't seen him since I lived in San Francisco and he played with the San Francisco Symphony. And he said, okay. Next thing I knew, he had gone online and gotten tickets for that night. Wednesday night was the only night we didn't have anything that we had a commitment for our center. It was like, okay, we get to escape and go play. But we love to escape into this center because everything we do gives us joy and is satisfying in so many ways. But this was an opportunity to play. He had never seen him before. When I last saw Itzhak Perlman in San Francisco, some of you may know he's probably the greatest, if not one of, he's if not the greatest, one of the greatest violinists in the world. And he contracted polio when he was about 6 years old. And when I saw him in San Francisco, he had the arm crutches, and he walked out onto the stage, and he played his violin, and we were all in nirvana. Well, I realized that this man had a decision to make when he was a little boy. Am I going to just succumb to what this disease is telling me that I have to do and be and not do and not be for the rest of my life? Or am I going to acknowledge the divine purpose within me and live it fully? This is what he did. He chose to follow his divine purpose, not to be swayed by anything that the medical people or anybody who cared about him said, oh no, honey, you shouldn't do that. You know, he went for it. And that's what he's teaching us to do. He came out on the stage Wednesday night. By the way, I have to tell you this part. My beloved said, be sure and bring your opera glasses. Well, I have opera glasses. I've been to the opera in San Francisco many times, and they're my grandmother's mother of pearl opera glasses. So I brought my opera glasses. I mean, it was the last minute he got the tickets. I brought my opera glasses. And so when the doors open, he escorts me down to the front row. That was just to get me confused. And we're 10 feet away from the master. And he came out on his scooter now. And then got himself, with his crutches, got himself into the chair, and he was facing us. Not only did his music take us to seventh heaven and beyond, but just looking at this man's face and realizing not only the great gift that he gave to the world, but to himself by making the decision to stay on purpose, making that commitment, no matter what it looked like out there. I had tissue with me, fortunately. But what a great example. Against all odds, to become one of, if not the greatest violinist in the world. And then they built a special podium for him, because after he played the Bach, then he came back, he went out, he came back on his little scooter, and they had these shallow steps built, and he got on his arm braces, and he took his time, and the audience was just like cheering him on silently all the time. He's going up, and he sat down in his conductor's chair and scooted it up with his arms, because his arms are very strong. And then he conducted Mozart. And then he came back after intermission and he conducted Dvorak. I could go on and on, but I have other things to talk about today. But is that the most beautiful example of a commitment to purpose? Nothing, nothing could persuade him or dissuade him from following that divine purpose within him. It was an early choice he made to live a full and a meaningful life for himself and for us. Thank you so much. So we align our hearts and our minds to our highest vision, mission, and purpose. When we align our hearts and our minds with our highest vision, mission, and purpose, all of the energy of the universe comes forth and it says, yes, please. It's just been waiting that wonderful, intelligent, resourceful law of mind that responds to us according to our belief, then creates, co-creates with us something brand new and wonderful beyond anything that we had been told earlier, anything that the race conscious mind might have had us try to believe. And we follow that purpose. And we are given everything we need to follow it and to reveal it and to unfold it in our lives. So we gladly commit to that purpose, and through the service, whatever the service may be, that we're ready to give to it, to our own purpose and to our community and to our larger community and to the world. We join with others who are of like mind, who are in alignment, the skills, the enthusiasm, the intention to bring something really remarkable into our lives, into our spiritual community, into our greater community, and beyond, into the world. As many of you know, I'm a part of the, and Reverend Mike as well, part of the ministerium, the mainline ministerium here. And that's the interfaith clergy fellowship. And by the way, it includes not only faith leaders, but it includes people who are police officers, people who work in Paoli Hospital. They come to our meetings too. Why? Because we are very much on purpose when things come up that our community is in need of. We work together to do that. Some of you came to the MLK Day of Service, and we could barely get there fast enough to bring all the food and to pack it up and to send it off before it was done. That's staying on purpose. And so that's what we do in the larger community. And by the way, for the first time, and thank you for your beautiful sharing, Melody, for the first time, we are in a place where these ministers, Reverend Mike and I, were able to invite the ministerium to come here this Tuesday for our luncheon meeting, because we have a beautiful place for it. And they're going to go, ooh, ah. And some have been here. Some came to the winter solstice and loved it. And in fact, one of the wonderful gentlemen from the Islamic Center expressed some beautiful ideas that night. So we're so grateful that we have other groups with whom we feel aligned, that we keep our purpose very much in the forefront, and we serve it. We serve the purpose. I think Ernest Holmes said it one time, we serve God and not particularly any person. But what happens when we're serving the divine purpose is that other people get served by it as well. And it's a wonderful system. I don't know who invented it, but it works well. We work together with selfless service. And we find great freedom in giving our unique gifts. And we find joy in witnessing the co-creation of an inspired and an inspiring community. Selfless service, or seva. Who knows the term seva? Isn't that cool? Seva. In Sanskrit, it's Punjabi, right? And it is a service which is performed without any expectation of result or award for performing it. Such services can be performed to benefit other human beings or society. So what we've learned from seva is that it becomes the highest path to our spiritual evolution. When I'm giving, when I'm participating, when I'm letting my heart lead me into what I can do in this environment, in this setting, for this person, for these people, for myself, then something is wonderful about my own unfolding and my own spiritual evolution. Something takes place in a way that it didn't quite before, because I'm losing myself in the joy and the enthusiasm of being part of something bigger than I am. And there's great freedom in that, and there's great joy in that. I have some acronyms for a seva, because I found out that it also is an acronym for stand-up extra vehicle activity. Do you know what that is? I just found out. I'll share it with you. It's an activity in which the astronaut partially emerges into space. Stand-up extra vehicle activity. And then I made one up. Spiritual evolution via action. It's an action which gives the giver, in which the giver wholly emerges into sacred space. So you can have seva as an activity in which the astronaut partially emerges into space. Or you can also have an action in which the giver wholly emerges into sacred space. I can remember so many Asilomars. How many of you used to attend Asilomars? A beautiful coming together of all the centers for spiritual living all over the country, all over the world. And there was always a SAVA team. And these are people who signed up, usually ministers, practitioners, and just anybody, even civilians, who would sign up ahead of time to be part of the SAVA team. And the SAVA team would be there welcoming people, helping them to go to the registration desk, showing them around the grounds, giving them a tour if they'd like, and answering any questions they had. And I never saw people's faces to light up as much as the SAVA teams did. It certainly, it lit up the faces of the people that they were serving. But they were like bliss ninnies by the time the week was over. I love being a bliss ninny, where you're just so captured by the joy of the service that we're providing, that it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to grow into our spiritual evolutionary process. From the Bhagavad Gita, living creatures are nourished by food, and food is nourished by rain. Rain itself is the water of life, which comes from selfless worship and service. This concept's been around for a long time. I may have mentioned this to some of you that in my very first church in Alamo, California, not Texas, Alamo, California, it's in the East Bay of San Francisco, there were two women who had been there for a long time before I came. And they were so involved with everything, and they both had actually taken all the training and become practitioners. Every Sunday, they were in the kitchen making lunch for everybody. And they would sometimes let other people bring things and help them, but it was their domain. But they did confess to me that for the years before that, for the first few times that they came to church, we used to call them churches in those days. Sometimes I slip into that too, because I like church. Now we're centers, and I like that a lot, because we come to the center. Yeah. So first few times that they came, they sort of sat on the back row. Well, they kind of liked what they saw, and they kind of liked what they heard. They'd leave before the closing song, because they didn't want to hold anybody else's hand. And as the Sundays continued, they moved up a little bit, a little bit more. And then the next thing they knew, they were staying and holding hands and singing the peace song at the end. And the next thing they knew, they were in the kitchen. And the next thing they knew, they were taking classes. And they were participating, and they were giving back. And participating, the seva, and the classwork all helped them to blossom into who they really were. I think it's wise to take our time getting to know if something is right for us, don't you? That's called discernment. And discernment is judgment spiritualized. Because we say, oh, don't judge. You know, don't criticize. Don't make things up in your mind about other people. That's very good. But we do need to spiritualize the judgment so that we're making the right choices for ourselves, and that's discernment. So we take our time. We go, that looks interesting. You know, I can kind of go along with that. Not so sure about that, but let's just wait and see. Let it develop. And question. Question. By the way, you know that back in the 60s, remember the bumper stickers, question authority? They thought that was a new idea. Do you know whose idea that was? 5th century BC, Socrates. Question authority. I've read it in Greek. Question authority. We want to question what comes our way that we're told is what's true and real and wise and find out for ourselves. And then, once we realize this is a wonderful lake in which to swim, the waters are warm, the people are friendly, we're all swimming together, and we're having a great time. Jump in all the way. Jump in. That's when we begin to emerge spiritually. We're spiritually splendid and humanly happy. You know, we do that dance between the absolute and the relative. In the absolute, each one of us is pure divinity. Each one of us is an individualization of the presence of God. pure love, pure wisdom. And in the relative, when things happen and appearances show up that don't look so good or feel so good, that's when we realize, okay, I really truly am a spiritual being. And right now, I'm stubbing my toe on a human experience. Just stubbing my toe, sometimes stubbing my heart, but stubbing, we do much stubbing. And then we come back to remembering. That's what we do when we gather in beautiful, beloved communities like this. We remember. We remember who we are, and we remember what is possible because of who we are. But I look at all of you. I think about you all the time. Did you know that? And in a very positive, pleasant way. Tune in. But I look at you now, and I think about all of you who are part of our hospitality, our greeters, those who make the coffee, those who welcome, those who bring goodies, those who help in the bookstore, and those who take the signs and place them down on the corners so that people can find us and bring them in again afterwards. Those who do a beautiful job in the sound and the AV booth. The office assistants, the practitioners on duties, the people who sneak in and paint and decorate, even now that we thought we were done and we never will be. The selfless service that you give. It makes my heart sing. This is a community that is working because we are co-creating something beautiful here, and everybody has jumped into the lake. And I didn't even say that you should go jump in the lake. Come and swim together and find that we have an opportunity to celebrate ourselves and each other in a way that we have such mutual love and respect and appreciation for each other. And then expand that idea into the greater community so that we have the ability to make a huge difference in the world. It's not like the children I was talking to this morning about the pets and the good friends. It's nice to have fun, nice to play, and we do a lot of that. But what makes it richer and deeper and more real is when we are here supporting each other, working together and playing together. That's when we realize it's more than just come in and get ourselves fed. That's important. We always want to be feeding anybody walking in the door. And we feed them in many ways as well. Refreshments are always nice, but we feed each other on a much deeper level. So it goes far beyond a sense of entitlement. No, I get to play with my puppy. Sure, but you get to feed your puppy too. And clean up after your puppy too. And get excited when they do everything they're supposed to do that day. So it's not a sense of entitlement, it's a realization of a joyous commitment, commitment to our purpose. I love what Hafiz says. Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, "You owe me." Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Look what happens with a love and a joyous commitment like this that we have right here. It lights the entire community, and and there's going to be, like, even without renting one of those the lights that they use when there's an opening, what are those called?
The spotlights.
The spotlight, right. They'll be able to see it because your energy is so bright and so strong. Are you ready for more people to find us and to find this teaching and to be able to change their lives in a way that make a beautiful, fabulous difference in their lives, in their families, in their communities, and ultimately reaching out that beautiful effect of the pebble moving out and touching everyone in the world? We are here to provide a wonderful pathway to healthy, loving, prosperous, creative, joyful living. We have tools for changing our consciousness and therefore changing our lives. a new approach to lifting those around us. Don't you love the idea of lifting the people in your lives? Even the ones you never met before. Do you know that just walking down the street, if we have a commitment to our purpose, we can behold the presence of the divine within every person we see, and we're lifting them without even saying a word. It makes a positive difference in our community, makes a positive difference in our world. So I thought about John F. Kennedy. Changed it just a little bit. Ask not what your community can do for you, but ask what you can do for your community, because it works the same way. We're like a recirculating fountain of aliveness, of love, of joyous activity when we're giving to each other and receiving from each other. It's a wonderful feeling of knowing that we are all in this wonderful activity together. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I asked you all to consider prayerfully, and I know that you have been doing this in your own way ever since then. What is God's highest vision for the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living? And I'm guessing some things have been coming up for you. And I want to know about them. I want to hear about them. I want to talk about them with you. And I shared with you what mine are. And, well, they're right in front of me, so I'll share them with you again. A sacred place of safety and welcome for all. A path to deep connection to the divine. A special home in which people feel connected to God and to each other. A haven of healing where truth replaces temporary conditions. Wholeness in mind, heart, body, and body of affairs. A teaching center to awaken every student of science of mind to the power of good available for our use. A place of empowerment where we encourage one another to live these principles in clarity, consciously applying them to our personal lives. A circle of encouragement and uplift, expanding into the larger community and beyond, where we awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence. A nurturing womb of love and wisdom for our children and teens, an expanding family and youth department where our young people learn the love of God and the wisdom and creativity that are within them. Our harmonious house of music, which is, in my mind, a synonym for God and his too, and hers, everybody's. Touching and inspiring our community and the greater community, lifting hearts and bringing people together. Perhaps a house band, guest musicians, concerts, and most of all, a light in this world, growing brighter with each person who commits to this vision and bringing the world into alignment with its original goodness. And perhaps it is now ours to ask, how willing am I to participate in a shared vision of our beloved community? This community, this spiritual community, this beloved community means the world to me. You are my family. Greater family. I've got a good one already, but you're bigger. And you're here, and I'm with you every day, one way or another. And I'm grateful that you are my extended family. And I know that each of us is choosing to participate in our own more expanded, more generous, loving way of giving the great gifts that we have to each other, but most of all, to our vision. So let's continue to co-create this vision together. Let's talk about it. Let's get excited about it. Let's let the enthusiasm and theos in God. Let's let that enthusiasm grow us to the brightest light that this community has ever had the great pleasure and joy of knowing. A yes, please?
Yes, please.
So will you say with me, I grow in consciousness.
I grow in consciousness.
From entitlement to commitment.
From entitlement to commitment.
From seeking to serving.
From seeking to serving.
And from managing to ministering. Do you understand that you are all ministering in your own lives? Each one of us is ministering. Each one of us is serving the greater good. And I'm going to stop before the little people show up. So, and that, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit, and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.